Good evening, this is Rabbi Mayevsky. This week's Parsha Vayishlach is, of course, very interesting, and I called it this week. I thought about referring to it as timing because that's somewhat involved in here. Things happen if you're on the, you know, you think sometimes when you have a car accident, if you left the house 5 minutes later or 5 minutes earlier, you wouldn't have had something that happened. It wouldn't have happened because you would have missed it. Here, a lot of things happen that is all to do with timing. But the fact is, what we call the mixed messages is what they refer to as the shir. A lot of times we see that Yaakov just didn't quite get the situation over here, or God sent the messages throughout his life, and he didn't always interpret it correctly. In fact, that is what we see a lot of times by many of the Nevi'im, and even at the beginning with Moshe, when God tells Moshe, now God has to speak to Moshe plainly because the reality is that he, since Moshe is undergoing such a major mission now to take people that are on the 50th level of Tumah and raise them up so that they could be eligible to take them out of Mitzrayim, everything has to be very clear. So when he speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, he has to be clear. And that's why when it says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Lemor, or Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, the words are not in his own words. As we see the Nevi'im after Moshe Rabbeinu, God gives them the license to say things in their own words. But Moshe is being given a script. It says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. And we've mentioned before, why does it say Lemor? And that was way of God telling him, you told me, Lo ish devarim anochi, I can't write a good speech. And I'm a kamit molg, I'm a shonai, ki oz dabra, you know, I'm a kvad peh, kvad lashon, I don't make a good speech. And God tells him, all right, so you know what? I'll give you a speech, and all you have to do is read the words. You don't have to make up your own speech if you're not you don't speak well. I'll give you a text, and you can read it off the cue cards. So, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. But more than that, many other than the Nevi'im, were God was able to trust them that they were fine speakers, and they were able to impart the God's message in their own way. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were on a somewhat moderate level. They also were given messages in a chazon or a chalom. They weren't spoken to b'hoketz alive. And where we see that for sure is, as we know, as I mentioned previously, by the Akedah, why did the Malach have to tell Avraham to al tishlach yadcho el anar? Very simple. Because at that moment, Avraham was awake. And if he was awake, standing there with a knife in his hand, God, he couldn't handle God speaking to him directly. He wasn't on that madrega. And therefore, only Moshe Rabbeinu would be. So therefore, Malach had to come to intercede for him. But now Yaakov is given these messages. And a lot of times we see they're mixed messages. And why are we dealing with that? The parasha begins by Yishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefano. Where did these malachim come from? The malachim came from, as we see at the end of last week's parsha, Vayipgu bo malachei elokim. And we think in, what does that mean? That after he made Eid HaGalazev, Yedu HaMatzeva, Yelo Evor, Es HaMatzeva, Azos L'ra'o, and Lavan says to him, we won't, you or I, either one of us, will not cross this line to do any harmful things to one another. And that was the deal we made. And when Yaakov was leaving this peace treaty, so to speak, this powwow, it says, Vayifgu bala malachei elokim. He ran into the malach. It's very interesting because we see, it also says, Vayifgu ba makom, at the beginning when Yaakov leaves his home and he says, Vayifgu ba makom vayolan shom kivu ha-shemesh, when he has the visitation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Sulam, going up and down, the malachim going up and down the ladder, it says, Vayivga b'makom at that point also. And there is, so the story begins with malachim and ends with malachim over here. But Yaakov was looking around and saying, why did God send me malachim? And the malachim over there, when we had it at the beginning, when I was running away from Esav to go to Lavan, the malachim were in a dream. And now they are here in plain sight. The malachim now are real. These are not, this is not a chazon, this is not a dream, this is for real. I see real malachim here. Why are they here? Obviously, there has to be a message. And what is the message? Well, he's not sure. So he calls it Machanoyim because he's talking about the two different times that he encountered these malachim, once in the dream and once now it's for real. But he's looking into this and trying to decipher what is really going on over here with these malachim. And the first thought that it is, because Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav Esav achiv, he has this thought, if he's headed home and there's a chance that he might encounter Esav, he's not sure yet, and he hasn't decided how he's going to deal with the situation. Probably he's been giving it a lot of thought when God told him. Very interesting shalom last week's parsha about when Yaakov finally decides to finally leave, what happens at this point in time? He goes, and he says, he takes Rachel and Leah out in the field so that nobody hears them, and he says, it's time we went home. The fact remains that God came to him and told him flat out, it's time to go home. What are you waiting for? You should have left 6 years ago, but now you decided to stay behind and make a little bit of money to make your fortune, and now you're coming home with a lot of money. That's not good. And so now it's time to go. So why should he even ask and tell Rachel and Leah anything? But the truth is, the Shalom makes a very interesting observation, and he says, even though, of course, Yaakov would have to go regardless of how Rachel and Leah felt, but it's always better to make them feel like they also want to do it rather than being forced to do it. Give them, lay it out before them, and convince them to do the right thing as well, so that you don't say, this is what I want you to do, this is what we must do, God is forcing me to do it. It's always better in that respect. But he looks over here and he sees the malachim, and the malachim, he's concerned that if I'm thinking that I want, God knows what I'm thinking, and I want to meet up with Esav over here, then perhaps I'm looking into it, and I think maybe that God sent me these malachim because there's an ensuing battle about to take place. That Esav is coming and he will do me harm, and therefore God promised me that he would make me v'shapti v'shalom v'esavi, and what's about to happen now, he sent me malachim to protect me, to escort me and make sure that everything works out all right. Really, Yaakov is the kind of person who is not looking to cause any loss of life. The fact is, in any battle, it's very rare that you don't have some collateral damage. There's always collateral damage, and we think in V'shapti V'shalom Obesovi, God said, and Yaakov made the observation, God told me that I would return, but not necessarily all of the people that are along with me, that wouldn't necessarily be the case. And he's concerned. He's not looking for any loss of life. And so he's trying to think, how do I extricate myself from this situation? Which is very interesting. And, of course, since he told me that I'm going to arrive home safely to my parents, well, let me give it some thought. And now that means I will get home safely, but what happens after I get home? And if I wait till I get home, and then I happen to run into, a year later, I finally run into Esav because he lived 30-40 miles away. I don't know exactly, I didn't check it out on the map, but a certain amount of distance from Yaakov, and it could be that he would live for a long time without ever running into Esav. If you take a look, I know where the Edom is. If you look on the map, it's well south of Be'er Sheva, and that's what we're looking at, and that's the way it works. But nevertheless, if God promised me that I'll get home safely, then the reality is I would like to encounter and get Esav out of the way now, when I'm under God's protection. And if I'll be under God's protection now, that alleviates the scenario of my having to deal with Esav at a later date, will clear the air at this point in time, which is a very effective way to do things. And I'm, that's the way I want to face it. But he's not reading, this is a mixed message, he's reading what God is sending him the malachim for, and he thinks that this is the way to handle it, but he's not sure. But of course, once again, as we've said previously, that even at the dream with the Sulam, he read that dream wrong, and until he finally understood the dream correctly, we'll mention it again when we get to Vayechi in a few weeks. But nevertheless, he realized later when he said, "Hey, Asfuvi Agidalochem Esa Sheri Kros Chembi Akris Ayomim," he realized the error of his way when he first interpreted that dream incorrectly, and now he finally realized it. And it was too late to do anything about it because his children had grown up and ascertained their characteristics, their traits had been formed. But now he has been living with Lava for these 20 years, and he wants to eradicate himself with the problems with Esau. Very great idea. But that's not what the God's message was. So he decides to send messages to Esau, messengers, and they don't come back and say that they had any conversation with Esau. What actually happened was something less than that. What actually happened was that they say, "We saw Esav, and guess what? Rather than me going to find them, he found out, I guess, for whatever reason, he heard that you're coming home, and now he's marching with 400 soldiers, which is a very scary thought at this point in time. Why else would you march with such a retinue of 400 soldiers if you weren't planning to finally Yikrevu Yimei Evel Aviv Ahagos Yaakov Ochi? And as far as he knows, this might not only signal that he wants to do battle, but since when Rivka was told that you should run away, Kumbarach L'chol Esav Ochi Korona, because that, Yikrevu Yimei Evel Aviv Ahagos Yaakov Ochi, then perhaps my father died. And if my father died, that's another tzara. And therefore, that's why Esav is coming finally to exact his revenge, which he promised to do, which my mother told me that somebody told her. And therefore, since he always was obviously paying more attention to his mother than his father, and this was what his thought process would be at this point in time. And he's very distressed. And what he does is he separates all of his retinue, all his wives and children, and because he's more concerned with Rachel and Yosef, and Dina certainly more than all the others, and he separates them, and he says, now God is thinking about all this that's happening, and Yaakov is saying to God, he's praying, he's asking God to please save him. God does not answer him in any way, shape, or form here. God says nothing to him. It was a little bit, I don't mean that God has emotions, but in some ways, you see, God is a little bit annoyed or distressed that Yaakov, after God promised to save him and not do any harm to him, that he's debating. And it says, Vayiro Yaakov miod vayetzalo, and which means, in effect, why is vayetzalo, why is the double lashon there? Because he realizes that God promised to save him. But if God promised to save him, he should be footloose and fancy free, as you might say, and not be afraid that nothing could happen to him. If God made me a promise, he certainly will live up to his promise. That is the track record. That for sure is what will happen. So the fact is, it's a natural feeling to have fear when there's an impending battle or something that's going to happen. But in general, it's just the general loss of life that might occur, that even though he and maybe his wives and the Shvatim will survive, he doesn't like the thought of loss of life in any way, shape, or form. Even the thought of killing Esav doesn't appeal to him in any way, shape, or form, which is what might happen too. But nevertheless, all these things are on his mind. So he wants to send messages to say, to placate Esav and to tell him. Now, before they could get back, we notice one thing that happened. It says, he's giving them, preventive medicine in case this happens, there's a battle, and we're able to run away. These people will be, will be in the front lines. Who's going to be in the front lines? Who will be bringing up the rear? As you do with any battle, who's on the flanks and things like that, how to best deal with the situation. The reality is there's something else over here at hand. And what's happening over here is that it says there, the night before Esav comes, it says, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, Vayeyavek Yeshimo. Yaakov now was left alone. The whole idea of his being left alone was very strange, because you would think he would ask any one of his children to, escort me. Would you let your father go out alone in a dangerous? Yaakov was a very old man here, and you let him go out alone and be, cross a river alone. That's very uncharacteristic, or certainly unbelievable. But maybe it goes to the fact, as we discussed last week, that not all of Yaakov and his children got along very well, and they just, maybe Yaakov snuck away, didn't tell him that he left something. We don't know. It's not important, really. But the fact is, Vayivaser Yaakov levado. And some of the Mefarshim want to get, what does it mean? That we as Jews are always left alone. There's the Yetzer Tov, there's the Yetzer Hara. There are people, that's why it was the Saro Shel Esav that fought with him, Vayavek Ishimo. Sometimes we have to fight for what we believe in, and that is the rationale over here, Vayavek Ishimo. But what is the outgrowth of this confrontation? Vayavek Ishimo, why does God make this happen? Vayavek Ishimo, Adalotli, Vayar Kilo Yacholo, Vateka Kakerish Yaakov, of Koimo, and he said, Vayigabachafirecho, and there Alkein Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael, that's Kiran Hashem. There's the outgrowth of Kiran Hashem, Avera here that we have, the Losasei of doing that. But what is going on over here? In other words, why in this particular is this exactly what God is sending him? What message is here, and what is the mixed message that Yaakov? We could look at it in various ways. On one level, we could think that now he's about to meet Esau, and he's looking successful, because how do we see at the beginning of the parsha when it says in Lavan Gar Koamar, this he tells the messengers, the Malachim, that this is what I want you to say, Im Lavan Garti. What is actually the message of Im Lavan Garti? So Rashi says there, as we all know, the famous line, Garti is the same letters as Taryag, yes, Taryag Mitzo Shamarti. He wants him to say that I'm not small potatoes, I'm no one to be trifled with, because I left after 20 years with Lavan, and you think that Lavan is such an immoral person, and that maybe he rubbed off on me. The truth is that even 20 years with Lavan, I was able to maintain my Yiddishkeit, Ves Taryag Mitzo Shamarti. That's basically what Yaakov would be telling him, and Kotonti Mikola Sodim Mikolo Emes. And but God is not answering him at all. The only answer that he's getting over here is Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. When he was alone with his thoughts, suddenly he's attacked by an angel, by the Saro Shel Esav. And what is the outgrowth of that confrontation? And it says, Vateka Kafirech Yaakov. God is disturbed by the fact that all Yaakov is talking with all his assurances for God, and he's now asking God for reassurance. And the reality is, God says, I told you, do you think I changed my mind? That doesn't happen. What I told you, so to speak, no news is good news. If nothing changed, if I had changed my mind not to protect you, then I would have come to tell you that you violated certain things and now the deal is off. But if I don't tell you, and the deal was that I would protect you and everybody with you, then there's nothing to worry about. And I see that you are worried. And you're planning, you're making plans in case you have to make a hasty retreat. And I don't like where your mind is going here. And so you know what happens? Why in particular, why did God make him lame at this point? Because God was teaching him a lesson over here. You're planning to run away? Well, how are you going to run away if you're lame? If and now you have to walk with a cane at this juncture, thoughts of you running away are no longer an option for you. And that's the scenario here. And that's what God is telling him. And that's what the reality is. If you see at this juncture over here, when Esau finally shows up the next morning and with his 400 retinue of 400 soldiers, you notice that they're all standing in a receiving line. Of course, they have in a certain order, but he doesn't say again, because he realizes there's no thought anymore of running away. He would not be able to do it. The confrontation will take place, and the confrontation will not be that he's able to kill Esau, because he was the only person strong enough to have that hand-to-hand combat with Esau, because after all, Yaakov was a just Esau's equal, being twins. He was the one who picked up the stone from the well, but nevertheless, he was now incapacitated because of his limp. He would not be able to match Esau over here at this juncture. And once again, he read God's message the wrong way. God is telling him, you don't, even if you're lame, there's nothing to worry about. But at this point, he's still concerned about it. And what happens? And what is he concerned about meeting Esau? When Esau said, "Atziga noim cho," you know, "dei vayoras lekroso vaychabek lo," and he, Esau comes, "vayishokeyu," and that Esau vayivku, and Esau cries and he hugs him, and he, of course, you have the little dots on vayishokeyu. This is the Medrash one way or another. Was it a really crocodile tears, or was it really sympathy that he had for his brother because he looked slumpy, so to speak, after he had just wrestled with the Malach all night long and he looked bedraggled? Was that really what happened? Well, we don't know. But again, the mixed message is, why did God do it? Or was God trying to tell him, my friend, you're afraid of Esau? You just wrestled with a Malach. You wrestled a Malach to a draw. Vayar ki lo yachol lo. Esau is a human being. A Malach, as you know, because he made you lame, even though when he used his normal capabilities, he wasn't able to best you in any way, shape, or form. It was, so to speak, an Indian wrestle that came to a draw. And at that point in time, you realize that you have that capability and you are still bothered by it. What will happen now? I'm disappointed. You should have been more. And now you can't run away. And this is what happened. God's message was to Yaakov at this point in time, you have everything, including my assurances, and this is my reassurance to you. But I don't have to say it. What it stands, what I told you before. And now they finally leave, and he gets through this encounter with Esau. But he's afraid at this point in time that if Esau goes along with him, he's still working on that thought process that he's not fully appreciating when God says to him, "Vishachti v'shalom," that you will go home in safe conduct, that nothing bad will happen to you. When Esau says, "Let me walk with you," he still refuses to walk with Esau. He said, "Udfakum yom echad v'meisu kol atzon," we can't walk so fast. You're a soldier. You're walking, and you know I can't keep up with you. But if Esau wanted to escort him at that point in time, Esau obviously was of mind not to do him harm, but at this point, Esau really maybe he wanted to bond with his brother. Let's face it, it's a twin brother. They have, on some level, a symbiotic relationship on some level, whether it's obviously not religious-wise, or maybe he could have, the same way he was afraid that Esau should not rub off on him, isn't it possible that maybe Esau watching Yaakov and his family and all the success that he had with his whole entourage, which was massive, that a little bit of Yaakov's lifestyle rubs off on him and that something takes away from that, and that's why we see what happens. And the Chazal make a point of saying that what Yaakov's problem over here or mistake was that he was hiding Dina. Now, the fact is, do we really think that Esau would want to have put his eyes on Dina? How old could Dina have been? Esau, at this juncture, think about how old he is. He's exactly, obviously, as old as Yaakov, which is how old? 99 years old. Imagine, is Yaakov really afraid that a 99-year-old man would want to have a relationship with this young girl who's somewhere between 7 and 12 years old, or 7 and 11 years old? It's very unlikely. And therefore, this is not something that he should have even had a thought. And what is this punishment over here? Again, we're getting mixed messages. What is the mixed message over here? Could you believe that if he had let Esau walk along with him along the way and escort him part of the way home, stay with him another few days, Do you think the Maisa Dina would have ever happened when Shechem takes, when she says, when Vateitzei Dino Basleyo Asher Yoldol Yaakov, and Shechem kidnaps her at that point in time? Do you think Esav would have stood by, or Shechem would have even attempted to do this if he sees that Yaakov is traveling with Esav and 400 soldiers? I think he might have thought twice about doing that. God is giving him messages, and Yaakov keeps on misinterpreting the messages. Does he read the message properly? Does he get it right? Or is the fact remains what makes Yaakov a great person, that even after all this sirus, and after all what happens the next week's parsha with the Mechiras Yosef and the thought that he lost his favorite son and all the other things that happen in his life, he still maintains, Im lavon garti v'yastaryak mitzvah shamarti. I don't lose my way. Regardless of what happened, I have the faith in God, not so much the faith in God that I will not suffer any tragedies, but even in the face of so many tragedies that I might incur in my life, that I might encounter, that maybe God, if I deserve any punishment that'll happen, it won't change me one iota. We see other people who go through so many things, people who have endured the Holocaust, and I've watched in the congregation for all the years I've been there, and I watch people who obviously who turn their back on God after the Holocaust, and you can't blame so many of these people. And then there are people who became even more religious after the Holocaust, or they were trying to understand and hold, trying their best to maintain a semblance of belief in God somehow. It's very difficult. But we could look at certain people who maintain their right of way regardless of the events in their life. Yaakov and Avraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov, were these people, the reason they are the Avos that we talk about when we say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov, they were still Hokel HaGadol, HaGibor, V'Hanoro, Kel Elyon. They all suffered so greatly, so many things that could have gone wrong in their life. They survived all of these encounters in their life. They came out still intact religiously and made their way regardless of what happens. May we all have the strength in our lives to withstand. May we not suffer any of these tragedies, suffer any of these encounters that our forefathers had. But the fact that the forefathers, these Torah tells us of all these encounters to give us that chizuk and tell us, Maisa Avos Simon LeBonim, the same way that they were able to withstand all of these encounters. And sometimes we make the right decision, sometimes we make the wrong decision. But even when we make a decision, as we always say, that even the right decision has consequences if it doesn't work out, but it doesn't change, or should not change, the way we look at God in our lives. May we all have that strength to go on in those encounters and not get mixed messages or interpret the message correctly the first time. May we have that havana, that understanding, to understand what God is trying to tell us when we see things happen. Have a good week and a good Shabbos.